Russia has said its forces have entered the northeastern border town of Vovchansk, near Ukraine's second largest city, Kharkiv. 30,000 Russian troops are advancing and have intensified their attacks on the region. They have seized at least 9 villages and settlements in one of the most significant ground attacks since its full-scale invasion of Ukraine began in February 2022. Thousands of civilians have fled and are continuing to flee. They are arriving in their hundreds at an aid hub in Kharkiv city, where they are being given food and shelter. An 87-year-old resident of Vovchansk told the BBC that he had left there by bicycle on Sunday, cycling to safety as bombs and gunfire went off all around him. So the war there goes on. Meanwhile here, the government is cutting the money that it gives to Ukrainian refugees who came here in the days and weeks after the invasion and who live in state-run accommodation. The money will be cut from €232 a week to €38.80 a week. The government says it's about fairness to give the same money to all refugees and asylum seekers. We're joined by Brian Killoran, Chief Executive of the Immigrant Council of Ireland. Good morning.
Good morning, Audrey.
The government says it's about fairness. Do you think it's fair?
Absolutely not, to be quite honest. I suppose in the last few hours since the cabinet decision yesterday, there's been a lot of confusion, a lot of disappointment. And the most striking word I've seen from one of the Ukrainian representatives that we work with is panic, the panic that it's spreading throughout the Ukrainian community in Ireland today. Why are we as a country in a position where we are, destabilizing that community here, where they are making every effort over the last number of months and the last 2 years to integrate themselves, to get working in Ireland? As you said rightly at the opening of this piece, the war in Ukraine continues. The Russian aggression in Ukraine continues. The Ukrainian community feel that there is no safe place in Ukraine for them to return to. And they are making every effort in this country to integrate themselves and become self-sufficient.
But Brian Killoran, people fled war in Syria. They fled it in Afghanistan. They fled it in Sudan. They have fled all sorts of persecution. But Ukrainians were treated differently when they fled their war. It's not their fault, but they were treated differently by the government, and a two-tier support system was put in place. So they're ending that two-tier support system and they're creating an equal system now for all people fleeing such circumstances.
Well, I think we could maybe rightly say that the quality of that system is making it equally bad for everybody in those circumstances. It's been well documented, well before the current crisis, well before February 2022, that direct provision, that the payments made in direct provision are essentially poverty level payments, that a family or somebody with a child, nobody can survive in any kind of a dignified manner in those levels of support. So rather than try and bring equality to the system by raising all ships, we are going beyond even a median level. We're going to kind of the lowest supports that we can provide. So I don't think bringing it down to that level is effectively the answer. As I said, this disproportionately risks impacting women, children, the elderly. It disproportionately risks kind of raising poverty levels among that community.
How many are affected directly? Because the government says, and others say as well, that most of the Ukrainians who have come here in the last 2 years are now working and are self-supporting.
Well, I think the details of how this plays out will impact upon how many it affects, because as I said, the conversation in the last number of hours among a lot of the people we're working with is trying to figure out who exactly this applies to. I've seen the figure of 27,000 mentioned. We don't know for sure how this will play out until we get greater detail. And that's feeding the panic and that's feeding the confusion as regards how it will play out. We have to think about this, I suppose, from the perspective of we had an emergency response, which has been a great response for 2 years. But we've been saying from the very start of this kind of migration is seldom temporary. And often what we have to do is build the medium to long term supports that are needed to integrate that community. People will want to go back. They will go back as soon as they feel that they can go back. But a certain percentage will want to remain here. And they're making every effort to integrate themselves and stand on their own 2 feet. And we need to be investing in that. It seems that rather rather than deal with the bigger overarching problem of housing, the hard problem of housing, the government is taking aim at the softer target of the refugees themselves. And that's deeply problematic. We have to look at this from the lens of human beings that need support. We've done it for 2 years. We can continue to do it. Our exchequer is not in a bad shape at the moment, but we need to focus on integrating people rather than destabilizing them.
Those who came since March and who live in state accommodation, do they have to leave after 90 days? And if so, do they still get financial benefit?
It's our understanding, and it hasn't come to the point as of yet where the 90 days have ended from those that have come in under the new policy, that will still be the policy. We have to see how that plays out, and we have to see how that is kind of applied in reality when it does come to that point. And again, that is a problem because people are living in very rural areas a lot of the time. They're not living near places where there's a very active housing market they can try and access. Employment can be difficult because of the isolation that they endure. And again, so we're kind of piling problems here on problems that are coming into the next weeks and months rather than building solutions that actually allow for a normalization of this situation and a soft landing essentially for people who have come from a very traumatic situation.
Okay.
So I think we're going to see a lot of problems and complexities in the next weeks and months as these policies play out, and we really have to question that this is the right direction for us to go as a country.
Thank you very much indeed, Brian Killoran, Chief Executive of the Immigrant Council of Ireland.